Welcome to the Aspire Community Church podcast. Join us today as we explore biblical insights for demonstrating the love of God. We pray this message brings you encouragement. You can visit us online at aspirecc.com or follow us on social media at aspireccva. Now on to today's message.
Trusting God for the outcome. Sometimes we have to trust God for that thing you can't see. I saw this little quote, and it stated that it says, sometimes I wish God was like a vending machine. I put a prayer in, and God gives me what I want. That's what the quote says, not my quote. But sometimes I wish God was like a vending machine. Think about that. Go up to the vending machine. What do I want today? You know, you're so disconnected only for that thing that you see on the inside of that machine that you want. And so what do you do? You put a quarter in. In this case, they said, I put my prayer in. And then you pull the lever or push the button and God gives you what you want. Life would be so simple, wouldn't it?
Oh no.
It would be simple that way, wouldn't it? You just go to the Lord and he just gives you exactly everything that you want. But this is not the type of relationship that the Lord himself desires of us. This is not what he wants. There would be no need for us to think, would it, if we had life like that? If life was so simple, you know, God has more confidence in man's ability to do the right thing. He has more confidence in you. He has the confidence of the things that he's placed in you. You are incredibly valuable to God. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you today. What we need is, I was thinking about this all week, what we need is, We need a lot from God, but what we need is this right here. I'm gonna tell you, we need tremendous trust.
Yes.
In God. We need so much trust that it goes beyond thinking about God as a vending machine where you could just go and drop a prayer in, you pull the lever or hit a button, and then poof, it comes out exactly what you want. You need tremendous trust. Not just trust, just tremendous trust. I'm sorry I didn't get the definition for tremendous for you, but you can get to feel that it's just more than just average, right? When life gets difficult and it feels like people or situations are against us, it's easy to get wrapped up in fear of the possible outcome. Oh no, how is this going to end? It's amazing how our minds jump there, always to the end. What is the possibility? What is the end result of this that I'm getting ready to go through? You know, you're not even looking at where you are. You already made determination on how things are going to turn out. And let me tell you something. That's where the devil wants us. That's his favorite place, because that's the snapshot that he shows you first. He immediately comes and tells you something negative that's going to happen. You know what happens to us? We forget that we need God. It's in those moments, that's when we forget that we need God. It's easy to become complacent and push aside things that keeps us in the presence of God, like reading or praying or even worshiping. It's easy to push those things aside. You know, we can even pray. And we can get a sigh of relief. You know, we can even get our prayers answered. But then immediately, somehow or another, we still forget that we need God. Amen. How is it that we do that? He just blessed us. Yeah. At the end of the day, what we need is to maintain tremendous, tremendous trust in God. Tremendous. God says a lot about trust in the Bible. And His word says a lot. Trusting God is different from trusting the process. Do you know that? You know, that you can hear that in modern day terms. You got to trust the process. But trusting the process is trusting a set of goals or steps, you know, and you're working through those steps and those goals until you achieve the end objective, you know, that thing that you're trying to achieve. That's what trusting the process is. But trusting God is not a set of goals or trust. I mean, goals or steps. What trusting God is trusting in God's ability to guide you to your desired end. That's trusting God. It's trusting God's ability, not your ability, but trusting God's ability to guide you to your desired end. Let me tell you something. What your end result is, believe it or not, God, he desires to give you that. Now, provided that, yeah, we already know that it's provided that it aligns itself with him, right? Yeah. But he knows the desires of your heart, and he seeks to delight, you know, delight in those desires. I found this scripture, and it was amazing to me. I want to share with you. It's Proverbs, the 16th chapter, Proverbs 16. And I'm going to start with the first verse, but I'm going to get to the third verse. Proverbs 16, and this one is the New Living Translation that I'm reading it to you from. And it states this, it says, we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. Interesting, huh? And the third verse says this. He says, commit your actions. You might want to underline that or highlight it, whatever device. And when I read that, he says, your actions, he said, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Doesn't it sound like that? He has your best interests at heart. And he said it here. He says, commit your, and the word that jumped out at me, even though it says action here, it says motives. He just talked about it in the previous verse. He said, what does he do? He examined your motives. So he's telling you now, and he says, look, commit your motives to the Lord. Commit it to the Lord. Your plans will succeed. Your plans will succeed if you submit your motives to God for examination ahead of time. You're going to the Lord and you're having this conversation with him. The word says, the word that they said here is one of the highlights in my study of this particular word. They didn't put the emphasis on action, which is motives really, but they put it on another word, which is commit. Because a lot of times we like to hold things to ourselves. We don't want to give it up. We don't want to share it with nobody else. But they're saying here that you should commit. You know what commit is. In the Greek, they use this word goal, G-O-L. And it literally means to roll. They said, here, you might know this a little bit better. They said transfer. Transfer your burdens to the Lord. Cast upon him all that you have to do. And what you're saying to the Lord is that I want my ways to be directed so that all of my paths and counsel may prosper. Amen. So what are you doing? You want all of you're committing your ways. You're committing your motives to the Lord. And you're saying to the Lord, will you examine this for me? I want to make sure that I don't get off the right or wrong path. I'm doing this ahead of time. When he said, commit your actions, your motives. He knows the intent of the heart. It's all good and dandy. Where we go wrong sometimes is in our motives. The reason why we're doing what we're doing. Commit. So you can use goal, G-O-L. But then another writer is talking about, they used a different tense or a punctuation, and it turned out to be gal, G-A-L. And that says here, he says, reveal to the Lord, instead of commit or roll over, he says, reveal to the Lord your works as a child does to his parent, to the tender parent, when they come and they reveal all of their heart. You know, they don't know how to hold anything back. They just tell it all. Mommy, I was at the school the other day and I was picking my nose and you know, they just reveal everything, right? And he's saying, come to me and cast all your cares on me. Like I know, like, you know that I really, 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 really care for you. Commit what? Your motives. What we need at the end of the day. What we need at the end of the day is, oh, I thought it was up there. Let me try it again. Here we go. We need tremendous trust in God. When we have done this, what we are doing is tremendously trusting in God's ability to see us through. When we have committed our motives to the Lord, we're saying to him, I'm tremendously trusting in you. I'm giving everything to you. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I would rather give you a prelude into my thoughts. I'd rather give you a prelude into my heart than the rest on my own ability or my own mindset or my own. He's what he said, trust. He said, lean not to your own understanding, but in all of thy ways, acknowledge him and he will do what? He will bring it to pass, right? So let's go to the scripture. What are we talking about today? We're talking about this. You need to have tremendous trust in God. Why? Because if you do that, it's gonna help you understand the outcome. So I have a bunch of scriptures. I don't need you to pray for me, right? Because I was trying to figure out how I didn't have to let you go through all these scriptures with me. So this is what you can do for homework. Homework, I'll just throw it out there, homework. Read Genesis, start at the 12th chapter, right? And just read all the way through to the 17th chapter. That's just a small reading. You got it, right? Everybody got that? 12 to 17. Take your time. You got all week. How about that? All week. But in this, what I'm going to do today is just highlight a couple of things that I saw. And if you know anything about this is Abraham. Everybody know Abraham, right? And it's amazing that Abraham, when I was thinking about it and praying about it, he showed me Abraham. And Abraham really had to perfect this whole trust thing in God. And I'm going to kind of show you what I mean. So let's go to Genesis 12 and 1. Now the Lord has said to Abram, he's not Abraham yet, he's Abram. He says, this is what I need you to do. Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, Abram. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Let me read that again because I missed a word. And in you, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you, Abram. Goes on. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old. Very important. I need you to remember that. 75 years old when he departed from Haran. How old? 75. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all of their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came into the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the Terebinth tree of Moran. And the Canaanites were there in the land. It seems a little bit more. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Who's going to be blessed? His descendants, right? Abram. So what did he do here? What did God do here? He gave him hope. Give him a message. He spoke to him. Like he speaks to all of us. He might tell you a message. It's important for you to hold on to that. This was a powerful message, right? What did he say? He told him that he was going to make him a great nation. He said he was going to bless him. He was going to be famous. And that he was going to be a blessing to others. He said, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. That's a mighty, mighty blessing upon him. I don't know about you. If I heard something like that, ooh, my head might start getting big. Because the God of the universe, what he's telling me is that the God of the universe is with me. I can stick my chest out. I can move throughout the land. Touch me if you will. You might get slammed down. The God of my God, he might beat you up. I don't know. I'm just saying. But let me tell you something. You know what he has out of this? He has a lot of hope. But every now and then, hope can become weak over time. Anybody can agree with that? Hope can go weak over time. So I want to jump to another passage, Genesis 15. I told you it was a lot. Genesis 15, first verse. And I try to put it up here, all of the verses that I need. And it's not as many as before, but let's kind of read through it. Let me tell you, this is his life. This is Abram's life. So after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, didn't I say hope gets weak every now and then? It gets weak. Believe it or not, it does. Abram said to the Lord now, he said, Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram said to God now, look, you have given me no offspring. Do you talk to God that way? You have given me no offspring and need no one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir. Talk about Elijah. But one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. So shall your descendants be. So he instructed him, go outside. And I thought that was amazing. He had to go outside of the tent and he looked up. You know, there is a significance of him asking him to do that because he said, look up and try and count the number of stars in the sky. You know, that's virtually impossible because it's limitless. It's limitless. Really what it does, it reflects the character of God, who God is, because you can't even put a cap on the sky. It is so far vast until his mind cannot conceive the totality of what God is trying to tell him. It is too big for his own understanding. Count the stars if you can. Now, what is this? This is another promise. Couple of chapters later, he's giving him some more hope. He's coming back. He's reminding him of what he said to him. Now, we don't know how old he is here, but we know he started out at 75, right? You already know the story, right? You done already did the math, didn't you? You know what he's asking. So trusting God is this. This is what I'm looking at as it pertains to trusting God. It requires you to believe God for what you cannot see. How many stars is up there? You can't see all them stars. It requires that you believe God for what you cannot see. And you know what? While trusting a process, you can see the next step unfold. And when you're trusting a process, if you don't like that process, you know what you can do? You can remove it or you can avoid it altogether. And if it doesn't suit you, you know, you can just change it out. The problem with that is to make any changes implies that you are the one in control. That's when you are trusting a process. To trust God, you must trust his ability to guide you through your journey. You have to know that deep down on the inside, and that's what he was trying to get Abram. Listen, I know what I told you now. I need you to hold on to it. And you know, basically what I'm asking you to do is do this right here. Blind trust. Blind trust. I'm gonna give you another word. True faith. How about that? True faith. Because he says this, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but it's the evidence of something you can't see. I need you to have blind faith. I need you to have blind trust in me, Stefan. I need you to have blind faith. I can call all of our names. I need you to fully follow me. That's what God is saying. I need you to fully follow me. I know you can't see the end result, but will you follow me? What God wants for you. Let me explain this. What God wants for you is far beyond your ability to manage or produce by yourself. It's so far outside of our ability to manage or produce by ourselves. It is so far that we need a supernatural God to work a supernatural outcome. That's what we need. A supernatural God who will work a supernatural outcome. But again, over time, remember what I told you. Hope cannot stand alone because it gets weak. While you're waiting, while you're waiting, it gets a little weak, don't it? It's like something. This is the importance of going to church. Going to church, you know, because when you're out there by yourself, you don't have nobody pouring into you. And your hope got weak last week. Weak last week. Did you catch that? You know, you didn't have nothing else pouring on the inside. Nobody praying for you. You're not praying with nobody. You remember that? You know, you need somebody to continue to hold you up. You know, it's good when the Lord gives you a word. Oh, my goodness, you're so excited. Oh, the Lord spoke to me. Hallelujah. In that moment, when we need support, let me tell you what happened. We open ourselves up for something else to come in and redirect us. That's why it's important to stay connected. Because the only way for you to continue to trust God for the outcome, you got to stay connected. In order for you to continue to trust God for the outcome, you got to go to that place where you're praying. Now, that could be in your house, upstairs, in your extra room that you don't create into a prayer altar. It could be in your car. You know, you put the seat back so nobody know that you're in there. You know, and you cry out unto the Lord. Or leave it up. It doesn't really matter. You know, if you ever drive down the street and you can see that person singing next to you, you can tell that they're in the worship session. Whatever you got to do that. Because as soon as your hope gets weak, what happens is you become skeptical and unsure if God is really for you. Let me tell you what happened. Let's go to another scripture. Genesis 16. Genesis, you know that what happened here. Sarai. She said, you know, let's take matters into our own hand. We're not going to trust God for the outcome. I know exactly what to do. I'm going to give you, Abram, my maid. And this is what I need you to do. I need you to go on in and she could be your wife and you can go ahead and sleep with her and have a baby. And it'll be as if she was my surrogate mother. And we're going to work this thing out. And he could be your first heir. He could be your, you know, he could be your boy. You know what I mean? He's the one that's going to be between you and God until this happened. Fifth verse. Then Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. Because she realized that she was wrong. Both of their faith got weak. She says, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between me and thee. The Lord judged between me and thee. That's why we started out like says, commit your actions to the Lord. You think she did that? Did she commit her motives to God first for an examination? She didn't. And you know what? And along the way, she even got her husband involved. And you would think that he would be sanctified enough to say, come on, woman, can't sleep with her. But he wasn't, right? He's like, ooh, opportunity. Praise the Lord. So commit. Let's go to one last scripture, 17. I told you, you're going to have to look at this, right? You're going to go home and read through all of these stories. Let's see what happens. When Abram was 99, let's do the math. Anybody got your math?
Yeah.
How many? 24 years done gone by. And so what do you, so I'm telling you to trust God for the outcome, but you have to put that in perspective. Are you telling me I'm going to have to wait 20 years? I'm telling you that you're going to have to wait as long as God needs you to wait. Remember what we talked about last year? Sometimes God has to move past your expectation. He has to allow your expectation to expire.
Come on now.
You know, the date that you have put in, I need you yesterday, Lord. Are you gonna meet my need yesterday? I need you now, Father. And what he's trying to get you to see is, do you love me? Do you trust me no matter what? Can you trust me for your outcome? Remember, he said, commit your actions unto the Lord and your plan will succeed. If you just bring your actions, bring your motivation, bring your work to me, let me examine it so that we can be on the same page in the end. So Abram was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, he reminded him again. He's letting us know again. He says, I am Almighty God. And he says to him, walk before me and be blameless. Now he's coming to Abram and he's telling him, this is what I need you to do. And it's amazing. He could have given up on him a long time ago, but he tells him something very profound. Walk before me and be blameless. And if you do that, I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. That's what I promised when I told you to go look up in the sky. I'm going to do it, but you got to trust me. Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. My covenant is with you and your father, and you shall be a father of many nations. I want to repeat that. He's telling him, he says, my covenant, Abram, is with you. In other words, I promised it. I'm a God that don't back out of a promise. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. You know, how do we know that God wasn't just trying to test if he would hang in there or not? That the only reason why Abram at the time was hanging in there is because, you know, the Lord promised him something big, or was his heart truly in it? 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful and I will make nations of you and kings shall come from you. You know what's amazing about this story is that we see the byproduct of it today. We know about Israel. We know about the, you know, Ishmael, and then, you know, even Ishmael, he told him, I'm going to make him a nation. He's going to have full of many, many descendants. This is going to be your son. This is going to be a descendant of yours, Abraham. And we see these kids today. How many years ago was this written? I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generation for everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants. To be God to you and your descendants. So, yes. Well, I said all that to say, because what we need from God, what we need to do today is have tremendous trust in God, no matter how long it takes. 24 years. If you read down in that last, in the 17th chapter, he says, I'm 100 years old. Sarah and him started laughing. You mean to tell me you're going to give me a child? You could have gave me a child when I was 75. I was talking to a young lady at the school, and she was telling me that she has a lot of brothers, but her father, when she was telling me the age difference between her and her oldest sibling, it was 30 years. I was like, whoa, I thought 12 was bad. 30 years, I was doing the math. And she said, oh no, you don't have to worry about it. My dad was 72 when she had me, when he had me. I was like, whoa, 72 in our time is unheard of. Come on, people, let's, come on. Jerome, you look good for, no, you ain't look good for another one. 72. He said, you're gonna do it, but not 100. Now this is beyond my ability to manage. This is beyond your ability to manage. You need a supernatural God to produce a supernatural miracle on your behalf. So what am I asking you to do today out of all of that? I'm asking you to trust in God's ability to guide you, no matter what you're going through. That's simple enough, right? He's simply saying, just trust me. He said, don't try to, here's a bunch of things he told me. Here, let me not go off the track. He said, look, let's see if I can pull it up. Delay, but not deny. Just because it may seem delayed doesn't necessarily mean that you've been denied. You've heard that before, right? Deny, not deny. He says, what else? Time demands trusting. Time. It demands trusting. He needs you to wait on him. And wait how? Waiting with his word. How many times did he come to Abram and says, remember what I told you. This is what I'm going to do with you. Don't let the enemy trick you and tell you otherwise. Don't let him try to trick you. Don't let Sarah or somebody like her come in and try to divert your attention away from what God told you. Last one is this, covenant must become our confidence. Did he make a promise? What is the covenant that he established with you in your prayer time? What has he said to you? That has to become your confidence. That's what wakes you up every morning. I remember what he told me. I think about my son back there. He's back there. And I remember what the Lord, I look at him and I see what the promise that I made to the Lord, and I believe he has been honoring it. You know what it was? So many of you may know, you may not, but I wasn't supposed to have children. And so in our prayers, to make a long story short, when I found out that my wife had gotten pregnant, I said, Lord, will you bless me with a man child? Because I remember the prayer that what was her name? Hannah had made. I said, if you bless me with a man child, I'll give him back to you. And he will serve you all of the days of his life. I can't get that boy to stop going to church, number one. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? So it reminds me of the promise that was established. And I, no matter what he goes through, I can't forget what God, that night that I was laying on the side of the bed and my wife was with me and we were both agreeing in oneness. Yes, Lord, this is what you said. Listen. Has the Lord ever told you something about you that he wanted you to do? Where he was going to do with you? You can't forget that. Your confidence is in that covenant that he made with you. Whatever the covenant is that God has made with you, you know what it does? It makes it easier for you to trust God for the outcome. It makes it easier for you to trust him for the outcome. In closing, that's the what if. That's how you know I'm in the in closing part. What if we did this? What if we just trust God for the outcome? Let's see. What if we did that? Trust him for the outcome. You know that thing that you've been praying about, mm-hmm. that you put on the altar? Remember what I said, he may not respond right away, but he has a response for you. That's what you got to know. It may seem delayed, but don't ever think that it's been denied. He might say no, right? A flat out, but most of the time he'll let you know that. Trust God for the outcome. And what I want to do, I want to give you four things that you can do to tremendously trust in God that will help you to remember this message. It's four C's that should help you to remember this message, at least is my hope, right? And the first one is this: commit. Cast your cares on him. What you give to the Lord, what he can do, he can evaluate it, he can examine it. And so that both of you can come to the same place of understanding. And he said in the word, he said, then your plans will succeed. Come to him, cast it upon him, share it with him, reveal to him. How do you do that? You might have to do it in prayer. You might have to do it in talking with counsel with somebody else. You may have to constantly go before the Lord. Is this the right path for me? Commit your works to the Lord. Commit your motives to him. What else? Control. Control. It's another C word. Some things are beyond your ability to control. You need a supernatural God to provide a supernatural outcome. Stop trying to figure it out. You know, when you're so talented that you don't need nobody to help you, you got all the gifts, talents, and you can make it happen. That's why it's so hard for God to really bless you, because you always have an answer to your problem. Sometimes you need to just relinquish control. Yeah, you know what? He wants you to reach out and ask somebody else for help. And you know, I know what to do. I know what to do. He's saying, just stop it. That's what the Lord is saying. Just stop and let me. You relinquish control and allow me to guide you through this journey. Confidence in what? In what his word told you. He had to remind Abram. He says, didn't I tell you? Where's it at? He says, look, I am Almighty God. Walk before me. Be blameless. I'm reminding you of what I told you earlier on when you were 75. I'm going to make this covenant between me and you. Do you have a covenant between you and God? That's the last thing, covenant. Covenant. What is the covenant? His promise is for you. His promise to you is for you. It's not for another. For him, he said, it's for you. That's what he told Abram. For you and your generation and those that your descendants and everybody that's going to follow after you. It's for you, Abram. Oh, it's for you, Abraham. For you, we see it, y'all. We see Israel people walking around here, and they can trace their lineage back to Abraham. Can you do that? Can you do that? Tremendously trust in God. This is how you do it. Four C's. What are they? Commit, control, confidence, covenant. We're going to one day talk about covenant. Covenant. He made a covenant. You know that. Well, who was it? With Noah. We see that covenant every day. But not every day. Every time it rains, you can look around for it. You'll see evidence of it. Has he made a covenant with you? Has he made a covenant with you? Trust God for the outcome. Will you trust him for the outcome? Will you trust him for the outcome? The way you could do that, God, let some walls. Amen and amen. Come on, let's thank God. Let's give him a hand clap. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deborah, I needed you. I need you now, Lord. I need you. 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 Oh, no, God, I'm not lying to you today. I need you. I need you. I need you. I need your strength today, Lord God. I need your strength right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Wonderful Savior, wonderful King, Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being my help today, Lord. Thank you, Lord.